Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Take Me There,
a podcast about travel. I'm Alexandra Ford.
And I'm Andrew Ford, and we are not brother and sister.
I don't know that that has a similar ring to it, but...
It has a ring.
Sure, like we're married. We're not related.
Rings, we're married, etc.
Just if this is your first time, I just want to make that clear. This isn't like a brother-sister podcast.
If this
podcast.
Is your first time, you are in for a wild one.
This episode's kind of crazy. I couldn't believe this trip.
This is a great road trip story.
It is. Also, I don't think we've ever had someone whose travel style is as unique as our guest today.
Yes.
It gave me hives hearing about it.
Yeah. Our guest is Daniel Spencer. He is a very old friend and collaborator of mine. Mm-hmm. We are in a sketch group together. He is an animator, a designer, an actor. He currently works on Samantha Bee's late night show, mm-hmm. doing graphics for them and cartoons. And he's just a lovely boy.
Yeah, he's a Renaissance man. He's very talented.
And he goes on a crazy trip where he drives from Brooklyn all the way up the coast, all the way to Fogo Island.
Yeah, he drives like the length of America. He drives like 3,000 miles total.
He doesn't talk about how much driving he does so much on this episode, but right. When I looked it up, it was 1,500 miles from Brooklyn to this place he went to, and then he had to drive back.
We've never been in a car together. Maybe cumulatively, we've been in a car for 1,500 miles, but I don't think... Or 3,000 miles, but we never drove across the country together, so we've never done that.
Yeah, it's a different beast. But it's a very fun episode. Mm-hmm. Dan has some lovely encounters with very kind strangers.
Oh yeah, this was a very like kindness of strangers heavy episode, which I enjoy.
But it's great. But before we jump into it, mm-hmm. we just want to send a little message out to our listeners
in Hollywoodland.
We are asking people to, if you are enjoying the show, if you're liking it, to review us on iTunes, please give us 5 stars. I mean, you could give us an honest assessment, I guess, but just give us 5 stars.
Yeah, it just helps us out, helps us get the word out to more people.
And tweet about the show if you're enjoying it, Instagram about the show, whatever.
Sure. However you want to support us, we're just saying, if you have already supported us online, we see you, we thank you.
We hear you. We love you.
Yeah. Thank you so much. If you are enjoying it and you haven't dipped your toe into that pool of publicly supporting us and you'd like to, we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
No,
that's
fresh.
It. That's our bag.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's enough of our self-enriching bullshit.
Yeah, we don't have a ton up top. It's a long episode, so I don't want to drag people into our relationship.
Yes, let's get to it. This is a road trip from Brooklyn to Fogo Island, Newfoundland with Daniel Spencer. Me and our guest today have been in a sketch group together for 10 years.
Oh my God.
Name some names. What's the sketch group called?
Sketch group is called Captain Hippo.
Check it out.
Check it out on YouTube. We got some sketches we posted 5 years ago.
It's CaptainHippo.com if I remember to renew the domain.
Yeah.
Great.
And we put out one video a year. Mm-hmm. We're just about to record that video today. We're very excited. All our big fans, they wait.
Not enough Thanksgiving content out there, so you guys are really filling a void.
Yeah. But it's our friend Daniel Spencer.
Yes, welcome. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
Thank you for doing our podcast.
No problem.
Yeah.
Thank you for letting me.
Oh my gosh.
Dan, I probably know some of this information, but I'm going to ask it anyway because not all of the world gets to know you as well as I do. When you were a kid, we usually start talking about childhood travel, see how that informs
your
future.
Background?
What was you and your brother Steve's travel life
twin
like?
Twin brother Steve's.
Twin brother.
I think it's important for the visual context.
Sure. So let's picture two of my boys.
Yes.
What did you guys do as a kid? I mean, you grew up on Long Island.
Yeah. There were two Taco Bells that we generally went to.
Cool.
Childhood was just from New York to Florida every summer until a point, and then it was nothing.
Yeah.
And I didn't have a passport until a couple of years ago. I never left the country until 7 years ago, maybe.
Oh, damn.
Wow, but you've really packed some trips.
Yeah, and I've really made up for lost time.
You've been, as I like to say, going off on travel lately. Last few years.
Just went to the Azores. I went to Russia, Europe a bunch. South America, a lot of hiking, Alps, Norway, and then like a bunch of layovers in between.
Yeah. So what spurred on going from literally no travel? I don't think when I knew you early on, you went anywhere. No offense. No. I mean, you're getting out there now.
I did mention the Taco Bells.
Went to both. Yeah. Was one better?
They were equally good, but what is very weird about the one closest to my house growing up is that once we went there a few days prior, and then we went back a few days later to get more delicious Taco Bell, and the building was gone.
Uh-huh. Like they demoed it?
It was just gone. There was nothing there. It was just a lot, like perfectly cleaned up. And we fell to our knees and mourned. And then the next day, we drove by, and there was a new Taco Bell open for business.
Yeah. Like, he was like Brigadoon?
I have no idea.
They
just like rolled it up on a truck and set it down. But it was insane.
We're going to have to get someone from Taco Bell PR to explain this.
Yeah, we
got to
talk to Taco Bell Corporate.
How fast can you build a Taco Bell?
Yeah.
That's
they just
nuts.
Bring it in on like a flatbed.
Perfect. Taco Bell.
But yeah, I didn't. It was just visiting grandparents in Florida every summer.
Where in Florida?
The old people part, Boca Raton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Disney World once or twice, I don't remember. And then that was it. And then after a certain age, we just didn't go anywhere. And yeah.
Great.
So what spurred on international travel in your life then? Mm-hmm. When did you, like, what was the first international trip you went on?
The first one was I fell in love with the woman who is now my wife, and she is from Germany, and we met here in New York, and then she had to go back to Germany, and I was like, well, I will also go there. So I got my passport and then met her in London, and then we went to Paris, and then we went to Germany for a while.
Oh my God.
Where does she live in Germany, or where's her family live?
She's in like the Dusseldorf, Cologne, Frankfurt triangle area. Okay. A suburb of Cologne.
We've watched a Bourdain about
He went to Dusseldorf and Cologne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal with that? What's the deal with them cities?
Frankfurt's like kind of like the finance city of Germany.
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
Dusseldorf, I haven't really gotten the vibe of it yet. It's very nice to be there.
Yeah.
But Cologne is like the punk, edgy, cool.
Cologne's really cool a lot of like old buildings too. Right?
Yeah,
like
I guess all of Germany. And that was also weird to me because I never loved this country, was that our country is like a child compared to most of the rest of Europe.
Yes, in like its age. Yeah.
And then you go to Germany or Paris and it's like, oh, that 300-year-old building has a McDonald's in it now. But all the buildings are beautiful and old. And even just walking around with my wife, and it was like, there's an old building, and then there's an ultra modern building next to it. And she'd be like, well, that one was bombed, so they built a new one there, but that one wasn't bombed, so now there's another
building. Yeah, that's a big thing.
A lot of, especially like Central and Eastern Europe is that.
Yeah. So just like loving the history of those places. And we spent a lot of time in Berlin, and Berlin is cool as hell. And learning about, like, just pointing out from a historical context of what built, like, what made the city. I learned a lot because I was extremely naive up to that point.
Do you remember any like tiny details that really blew your mind?
I think it's mostly, and this happened in Dusseldorf when I was walking around with her and her family, and I was just like staring at a building, and her father was like, what are you staring at? And I was like, it's weird to see a whole building. Because in New York, everything is so truncated and so compressed.
Squished, yeah.
And in Dusseldorf, the streets are so wide and there's just so much space that you can just like look at an entire building. And I just remember being like, I was like, something's not off, but like something's different here.
Yeah.
And it was just because there's so much space. And I feel in Berlin too, there's just like, there's more sprawl.
Bigger like boulevards.
Yeah. And things are so, so cheap.
Really?
We live in New York, which is so expensive.
But even in Germany? But,
yeah. I mean, in Berlin, like her beautiful apartment was like $300 a month.
Really?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
It was insane. And just like beer anywhere in Germany is like $2 for a pint.
I always thought Germany was like London or like at least in Berlin, you know, like a big industrial city would be expensive, but it sounds like it's not nearly as bad.
Maybe crazy. I'm just comparing it to New York, but it was pretty cool.
I have never been to Germany.
Yeah.
I do want to go.
Yeah.
You
I'm
don't
trying to think like the first time when I went to Europe, I went to London. I thought Mind the Gap on the subway was so cool.
Yeah.
Cause I was like, there is a gap. Thanks for telling me.
You're in the gap. Wow.
Then, yeah.
I should have read this.
Wow, I did.
I am minding.
Cause
it.
My only experience with the Gap was like the clothing store at my shitty mall. So I was like, it's kind of the name. Yeah.
But that Mind the Gap, like, logo and like phrase or whatever, mm-hmm. I felt like really made it to America at some point.
Yeah.
Where like was, it got like merched out so hard.
Sure. But sure if you call like, the subway here the tube,
you're not an idiot. Yeah. The underground look. I feel like there was a big like surge of like Anglophilia around the time of like Austin Powers and stuff.
For sure.
Yeah. Logo. Austin Powers definitely brought it in. I remember, I don't know if you guys ever heard this. They used to, back in the 90s, they used to play movie scenes on the radio. Like, I'd listen to, like, Drive Time Radio, and they would just play clips from movies.
Sure, yeah.
And I remember distinctly them playing, like, Austin Power, like, whole minutes of Austin Power just over the radio.
Which I'm 100% sure does not hold up as a movie. Because the entire joke of that movie is I'm horny.
Yeah. Yes. But people are still horny in 2019.
Extremely horny.
Yeah. I'd say they might be getting hornier.
I feel like it could either age so poorly or like it could be just huge be on TikTok and we have no idea.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Kids are discovering it and being like, does anyone? Like,
Well, it's like they do with the kids are loving The Office these days. You know this.
The show that is still a new show in my brain.
We saw like a very chic like group of teens walking around. Mm-hmm. And one of them was wearing like a black leather jacket and a Dunder Mifflin Paper Company sweatshirt. Sure. Yeah. I was just like, what is happening?
What is happening? Teens fucking love it.
Yeah. They love it. I mean, what's not to love? It's a great show.
Sure. Yeah, yeah. But that's not what we're talking about. Why are they so obsessed with it?
Someone at the wedding was telling me that they walked by a gaggle of people taking pictures of a building in the West Village. And she was like, what's so special about this building? And it's the exterior from Friends.
Oh
yeah. Village.
Yeah, so people are there just like taking. Also, did you know Pottery Barn like or Crate and Barrel did like a Friends collection? So you can buy that like shitty couch.
Was it like an anniversary or something?
I think it's 25th anniversary.
Yeah, because also one of the basketball players I enjoy, he has his own signature shoe through Nike, and they did a special edition Friends shoe.
This is so stupid. Why?
I don't know.
What does Friends have to do with his shoe?
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. Is he ever on the show?
Is Kyrie Irving, the basketball player, ever on Friends?
I don't know which basketball
player. Did he do the SpongeBob shoes too?
He did do those. Yeah, he does a lot of cool colorways.
I was very close to ordering the Squidward ones just because I love Squidward so much. And then I was like, I cannot justify it. There's no way in hell
you're not going to spend $150 on shoes. You're
like, I should treat myself. And I was like, this is an utter waste of money.
All right. Well, now that we've covered Squidward shoes, I got to Google them.
They're cool. They made SpongeBob, they made Squidward, they made
Mr. Krabs one, there's a Sandy one, and there's a Patrick one.
Yeah, they're cool.
The core cast.
I'm all Squidward though. How does it?
Where's his eyes? Like, is the tongue of the shoe?
They're just like themed, like colored.
Yeah.
Oh,
themed.
Okay. It's just his color.
It's not supposed to in the sole of the shoe.
It's not supposed to look like you're wearing SpongeBob. Yeah, like
I don't know. I did meet a little girl.
Ever since I saw Squidward, I knew I was going to step on it.
You're like, I just want to put my feet in his face. Yeah. I met a little girl that had like the shoes. Like, you remember LA Lights? We all had LA Lights, maybe. So now the like light up shoes, you charge them. They have like a mini USB.
Uh huh.
And I was like, wow. Wow, imagine having
it. Because it used to be, if I remember correctly, you would just burn through those batteries and then you were done.
Then you were done.
There was no way to replace them or open them. You just had to get new shoes.
Which is your mom for new shoes.
That's an incredible business model, though.
Incredible business model. Now they're just building in the chargers in them, but they could have had a subscription where it was like, send it back. We'll give you another pair.
I would sell shoes, light up shoes, where you could only take one step and then the battery would burn out.
You had to choose this step really wisely.
Oh my God. Okay, sharks. You're not getting a deal.
What if these shoes were worse?
How many times have you gone to Germany?
A lot. At least once a year.
Wow.
Sometimes more than once.
How's your German?
I can understand it when people talk it at me and I can try to keep up, but since phonetically, like my mouth can't make a lot of the sounds properly.
Yeah.
Whenever I try to do it, whoever I'm talking to just stares at me and then goes, aww. It's like I imagine like a third grader trying to say something.
But at least you're trying. That's something.
Honestly, it's been like 8 years. I should be perfectly fluent by now.
Does your wife watch like German TV?
Yeah. We watch a lot of German stuff. Listen to a lot of German
stuff. Did you watch Dark?
No, I've heard that that's very good.
Yeah.
That's the Netflix one.
Yeah. Right? You said it was too spooky and I needed to watch it by myself.
We're not big on spooky stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like spooky stuff. The spookier, the better. Spooky.
Are spooky enough around here.
Yeah, I don't know. In 2019, how spooky things are.
Just desensitize me, baby.
Our shoe batteries are down. Scary enough out there.
Anyway, all right. We've established that you've been a bajillion places, so which is very cool.
Well, we can't get into your quiz yet. We need to intro the trip that he's on.
Oh, go ahead then.
So let's talk. We're not talking about Germany today.
No.
We could. It would be so easy. For but sure. It's too
we'll
easy
have you back.
For
we'll
us.
Have you back to talk about Germany.
Yeah.
Sure.
So where are we talking about? Where are we talking about today? What trip did you go on and when did you go on it?
This was, I guess, 3 years ago.
Okay.
And it is a road trip from here in Brooklyn to Newfoundland, Canada, and then a tiny island off the north part of Newfoundland, Fogo Island, a tiny island.
Okay. So this is a tiny island. I assume it's
off of a bigger island.
Yeah.
And
you basically drove as far as you can drive.
Yeah, that was the goal. It was like, where can we get? Where's the farthest we can go with this car?
That was the goal. You were like, how far can we go?
Yeah, for sure.
Like, that's
what,
so funny.
What is the most remote place we can get to by car?
Okay. But,
oh, most remote. So that makes sense.
Yeah.
So had you been to Canada before?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. So you were like, I want to go as far as I possibly can.
Yeah.
Why? Why were you like, I want to go to the most remote place we can get to?
We had 2 weeks off in August from our jobs, and we were we hadn't like booked a flight or anything.
Okay.
And we had access to a car.
Perfect.
And we realized that neither of us had ever gone camping.
Oh.
Really? So we did some research, and we bought like nice sleeping bags and a tent from Target.
Right.
And loaded up the car with like pots and pans, and we're like, we've done this a couple of times and before then, and wherever we go, whatever country, is that we usually book, if we book a hotel, we usually book it for one night and then figure out the rest when we get there, and it's like a constantly moving thing. Like when we went to Japan, we booked like the first night in Tokyo, and then when we got there, we were like, well, we have the rail pass for the train, where do we want to end up? And then we would like figure it out on the way.
This is stressing spontaneous me out so much.
Honestly, it's reached like this fever pitch where the last vacation, last August, we didn't have anything planned. And then my wife, we found a flight that can get us to Norway through Iceland, but we have to leave now. And we literally like threw stuff in our backpacks and went to the airport.
Can you imagine this? We would never accept this from either of us.
I
sure.
would
kill
sooner
each other.
Yeah.
Die. Like, I couldn't. Oh my god.
Even like
Andrew couldn't decide whether he wanted a bagel or a granola bar this morning. It was like, I have to think about it. I have to think about it for like 2 hours.
Right.
So the idea of being like
yoga. I was going into hot yoga. What do I want to eat? A big bagel and cream cheese right before hot yoga?
I've been doing that too.
As soon as I start sweating, people are gonna be like, I'm sorry, am I at Brugger's Bagels right now?
Going. You don't sweat.
And you were eating it during the hot yoga.
That's how you. Well, you steam bagels. You're steaming me. Oh, I'm full of bagels.
Steam bagels.
Yeah.
You boil them.
Oh fuck. All right.
Anyway.
Sure. Pass. Move on. Forward.
This itinerary.
Water is the liquid form.
Yeah.
Wow.
Dan's got
so
my
you've
back.
Literally been like, we have to go to the airport in 2 hours. Like, push
2 hours
back.
Is generous. It was like the flight is in an hour. I used to be super. I mean, I'm better. I'm not completely
right.
Calm, but I'm kind of just like, fuck it, let's do this.
Wow.
I mean, by now we know the infrastructure in those places is like, we'll bring as much as we can, but we've done these, we did it in the Alps and we did it in Norway, where you get like, you join their hiking program and then you go on these hiking trails and there are kind of cabins set up along the routes.
Oh.
And they give you a key and you can unlock the cabins and stay.
Oh,
in the
this
cabins.
Is like, these are like treks. Like we talked to,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
talked to Katie Simon about going to New Zealand. She's like, there's a lot of these like multi-day trek, like walkabout treks you can do.
What's like the bed situation? Is it just like a bunk bed built into the wall?
Kind of like communal bunks. Like there's a row of like 20 beds or a bunch of bunk beds, like dorm style bunk beds in a big room.
Okay. And they're usually like pretty well taken care of.
Oh yeah.
That's nice.
It's Norway.
Oh yeah. I mean, it's Norway.
It's better than a bed that you would get in an apartment here. It was great.
That's crazy.
Wow.
So you're doing a lot of last minute trips, which is psychotic in every way, in my opinion. But
I don't think I'd be able to go back to like, if I had to like go sit in a hotel for 2 weeks, I would be like so antsy now.
So is the goal like, okay, when we get there, we're really going to get a sense of the place so that we'll know what we want to do more. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, you know, a lot of times you can be misdirected or tourist trapped. Hashtag Andrew. That's my hashtag me.
Yeah.
Hashtag
no, it's hashtag tourist trap, not tourist hashtag
trap,
right? Me.
No, I didn't say I coined the term tourist trap. I coined the term tourist trapped. as in you've been trapped.
Like the past tense.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. I invented past tense.
Oh, okay.
Oh my god.
But
my,
I knew you from somewhere.
But you could,
you're the guy that invented past.
Thank you very much. I'm very independently wealthy from it. So because you avoid the idea that like you could make a bunch of plans and then realize like into it that you're like, oh, I don't like what we're doing.
Right,
here.
Yeah. Right. I think the main, and again, we there's always a plan B, and it's not like we don't have a safety net of some kind. And we're, uh-huh. we're not going to like dangerous places.
Right.
But I think the goal is, and Amelie has been extremely good at this, and has taught me a lot about kind of getting the most out of a place.
Uh-huh.
And we just, like, we drop in and we try to figure out the most things to do as possible in one place and absorb that. And then if we like, I think the main perk of doing trips that way, and we did it a lot on the trip that I'm going to talk about eventually as soon as I get to it, is that if we like a place, we're like, oh, let's do more of this.
And oh, interesting.
Stay there for multiple days. And then we kind of have like a basic route, like we want to end up here and our right. flight out is in this city. So we can do 3 days in this place and 2 days in this place, or do so we don't want to like lock ourselves in case we like one place more than
Got
the other.
Got it. So are you deciding on like a day-to-day basis? Are you like only
Sometimes.
Booking one or night like, stays? Or are you like, okay, I think I like it here. Let's book three
it's
nights.
It's usually one night stay. Like wow. when we were in the Yazor just now, we brought our tent and camping stuff. And we found a campground that we really liked.
Okay.
And we stayed there for 10 days.
Oh.
And every like night we would be like, well, the camp office is closing in an hour. Do we want to do this again? And then I would go and say like, one more, please.
You guys must be very decisive.
Yeah. I think we're always in agreement whether or not we would want to be in a place like we
wow.
know where there's not a lot
That's,
of
people. Wow. We could never
I don't think
do
so.
That.
No,
I also completely, Amelie is like, so good at finding the good stuff to do. Like
that's amazing.
Whatever she wants to do is I'm like, 100%.
Does she do a ton of research before?
Yeah.
Is she asking
she's,
around?
She's a genius. Like she,
she's a genius.
She figures
she's
it
a genius.
Out. Yeah. So whatever she wants to do, I've never once been like, I don't know about that. It's just been like absolutely 100%.
Cool.
Let's do that.
She must know you really well.
Yes.
Which is probably why you got married.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. Good. Huge. I still think this is so crazy how
I
you
know,
do it. I think it's
really both of us are just absolutely
my mind
floored.
Is trying to compute. I'm trying to move on, but I can't.
It's led to some like very cool, like just and this Azores trip. We flew in with our camping stuff, and they lost our luggage, uh-huh. so we didn't have the tent in the hole. We didn't have anything booked,
uh-huh.
and we were like, we don't have a tent now. And the airport was like, well, we're going to send your. We found your luggage in the airport in New York. We're going to send it tomorrow. So we'll give you money for like one night at a hotel and you can stay in a hotel.
Okay.
So we found a hotel in some city that we didn't plan on going to. And it was like a very nice, it ended up being really nice. And there was a huge window to the ocean. And in the middle of the night, Ali woke me up because a meteorite was falling from the sky and landed in the ocean. So
you got to watch it.
So we got to watch a meteor fall into the ocean.
That's cool.
Ali is like
it was
on
scary
top
as hell.
It.
And I, for a brief moment, accepted that I was going to die.
Oh my God.
And that was the end of the ocean.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
You have, I do that all the time.
You have to make amends with your maker right before.
Sure.
You
yeah, have
sure.
To.
You got to have your life flash before your eyes.
Yeah. Oh man!
So it was like wow. Like 90 minutes of me deciding which maker
yeah.
I was going to subscribe to.
Perfect.
I think that like there have been trips I've been on where that approach would have been beneficial.
Yeah.
Like I would have gotten to a place and been like, "Oh, I don't like this place that much. Let's move on to this next place." And then there's been places where, like when we were in Hanoi, when we went to Southeast Asia, we kind of did only like 3 days in every place.
Yeah.
And some places that was too much and some places that was not enough.
Right,
and it was
yeah.
just like, oh, like Hanoi. I was like, man, I could have spent like a whole week in Hanoi. I thought it was so
sure.
cool.
Yeah,
and
sure.
I was just like, I get that. My worry would be like booking stuff, booking flights, booking trains. Are
yeah.
you trying to build it in a way, like you said, when you went to Japan and you had like a train pass.
Yeah.
So you weren't as like built yeah. or like impeded by that.
No.
You have you're building in systems that allow you to be flexible.
Yeah, and we knew that we that was like our anniversary trip, and we knew that we had the last night of the trip was on this island called Yakushima that's off the southern tip.
Uh huh.
It's where that you know that Miyazaki movie Princess Mononoke. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
That's where that takes place.
Ooh.
So it's like a very jungly volcanic
oh,
island.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So we knew we had to get the rail pass to get there.
Okay.
And we knew from Tokyo to there was like multiple days of train.
Got it.
And then we figured, well, we don't know any of these cities in between.
Got it.
If we get out of the train and we like it, then we'll stay
cool.
in that city.
Do you set a budget before you go?
We're pretty good at finding the best options. It's not like we write a blank check. So that's something I should point out. That these are, and we do a lot of camping and we do a lot of like budget things.
Right. So, but you're not just like, okay, we're going to spend $3,000, and when you set $3,000, it's time to go home.
We have a mental compass of how much we're spending and try to keep it as low budget as possible.
Got it. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, and it usually works out. Uh-huh. And it's a lot of like, in that Japan trip, we like got out of the train in like a hot spring town, because we heard that there were hot springs.
Oh, yeah,
onsen. And as soon as we got out of the train, we went into like this record store by the train station. And the girl who worked there was like, I'm closing up, but I'm going to an art installation. Do you want to come? And we were like, yes. And we followed her. And it was this like immersive art installation where she took us to the roof of a parking garage. And
what a way to be murdered.
They murdered us immediately. There were a lot of people.
It's murder Japan. Is art in a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, this is avant-garde. the way you're stabbing me. There was like an experimental dance on top of this parking garage, and then all the dancers led the crowd to a movie theater, and then they did another art piece in the movie theater, and then one of the dancers from the movie theater led everybody to a park where they had this giant tree that they fixed with a light show, and they did another dance around the tree. And then the girl who took us to this art installation was like, oh, I know a restaurant here, I'll get you guys some food, and took us to like an izakaya, like a bar, and we ate food. And then she was like, oh, I know someone who owns a hotel, who works at a hotel. And then we went to a hotel and she hooked us up with like a room at the hotel, and then spoke to the owner, who let us use the hotel's private onsen, their hot spring. And we're just like, we're just gonna leave this on, just turn it off when you're done. And we just had like access to the hot spring, and I had no idea what city it was, where, like, I'd never heard of it before.
What the fuck?
Yeah, this is a real what the fuck.
This is like every single vacation, every day of the vacation is just like, sure, what, like, let's do it. And it's been like, until, I'm sure it will lead to my death eventually, because it's been too
what
good.
A way to go though.
But yeah, but oh, it's been God. Like every trip we've taken has been like something happens accidentally that is the highlight of the trip.
This man is really living a spontaneous life.
Yeah, it's
the antithesis of everything I do when I'm not on vacation. When I'm not on vacation, I am panicking all the time, sticking to a harsh routine that
I will say, not to tip my hand of knowing you a long time, but that does not seem in your personality.
No, it doesn't. And I'm sure that I like,
do you think
partially ruin it probably by incessantly complaining about it.
Do you think you become some sort of vacation Dan, like a different Dan?
For sure. You know what? And I'll tell you this. On the last vacation we took, and this is just for you, uh-huh. I wore a hat.
Wow.
And flip-flops.
Wow. I can't imagine Dan in flip-flops.
Impossible to imagine.
Wow.
If he's not in his
Chuck
high tops,
this is reminding me of the episode with Rachel where it was like, she just like, interactions with strangers aren't welcome.
We
and
spoke on the,
exciting.
On another episode that'll be out, I don't know, before or after this, I'm not sure yet. Mm-hmm. But we spoke to our friend Rachel, uh-huh. who went to Spain, and she travels solo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then she uses Couchsurfer, but not to stay on someone's couch. People do just activities on Couchsurfer. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
like,
so
I'm going to the beach. Does anyone want to go to the beach? Wow. And that she like just, that's in a very similar, like spontaneous way, mm-hmm. just kind of like follows that.
Yeah.
And like, that's a lot of her like, at least day-to-day activities.
But it was so much mm-hmm. about like just making connections with people who were just nice and willing to and excited to yeah. show you the place that they live, especially when they knew that you weren't from there, mm-hmm. and
yeah.
that it can kind of open you up. I feel like the podcast as its own living thing is telling us to like chill the fuck out
yeah,
a little
we're saying
bit.
No.
And we're like, no.
As long as you know before you go that like what the safety parameters are
yeah.
in the place.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and again, I don't want it to seem like we're like throwing on our duff, like our bindles and like hitting the road. Like, there's
right.
we're grown ups, and there's always like a safety net.
Yeah, and it sounds like Amelie's yeah. doing a lot of research beforehand
yeah, like
to be like,
there's prep.
Yeah, these are things we want to
see. Being prepared
yeah.
so you can be spontaneous.
It's planning yes. to be spontaneous.
Exactly.
Thank
it's
you.
It is a lot of work to organize those things,
yeah.
I guess, in the back of, and I'm sure she's working doubly hard to figure out.
I know, we're
going to
get Amelie on here to talk about
my
the strategy.
God, yeah, this is
oh
crazy.
God. All right,
okay,
well,
let's
before
get into
we get
our,
into Newfoundland, we yeah. do a little quiz with our guests every
sure.
time. Suss out
it's called
kind of
Alex's Quiz. Okay. Or you need to come up with a name for it.
I am so tired.
I'm calling it
and
Alex's
gonna,
Quiz.
No, this is a bad name for it. We're going to come up with something better. TBD quiz name.
Alex Quiz.
I feel like this is, maybe you've already answered this, but do you prefer short trips all the time or big trips sometimes?
I'm good with both.
Yeah.
I think we do a little bit of each.
Yeah.
I feel like your schedule usually, because you, we've talked to a bunch of people that have worked on shows. Shows have pretty standard, like, 2 week hiatuses at different points in the year. Do you always try to, like, be like, okay, hiatus is coming up. Yeah, let's travel.
The August one, because we've been doing a thing at my job where we pre-tape one show so that we can have like 3 weeks in August.
Oh, cool.
So the August is like the big one. We both take time off and we both want to do like a big trip.
That's tough because Europe like shuts down in August.
Yeah.
A little bit. I guess depends. Yeah. I guess, I don't know. I'm sure there's plenty of places to go.
I would like to go. We go for Christmas and I get to see like winter Europe sometimes.
Ooh, nice winter Europe. Ooh. I've never
German
seen.
Christmas is the Christmas.
Is it lit?
I mean, I've never had Christmas until I got married.
Oh, right. Because you were also Jewish. Yeah. Like me.
But sorry, everybody. the Christmas in Germany is like the coziest fucking thing. In the world.
Really? Do you drink like mulled wine?
Yes. A lot of glue.
How much like a gingerbread cakes are you eating?
My pockets are always full of loose gingerbread men. So
I feel like we've never done an international. We're about to go to Paris in November, and I think that will be the closest.
That'll
to, like,
be like the coldest trip, international trip we've gone on.
I get it. People don't want to travel and like be uncomfortable and cold when they could be uncomfortable and cold at home.
But I think in January, sure. But I think if Christmas time is a thing, it's worth it.
That's cool.
That's
Carly,
cool.
My friend Carly Wiesel, shout out to Carly. She did an adventure by Disney cruise in Europe in winter, and it just looked so magical.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like Germany does Christmas hard. They have to. The land of
it's where
Saint
Jesus
Nicholas.
Was born after all, as far as I know.
Saint Nicholas Berlin. And Jesus born the same day.
Oh, what? Is that true?
Hated
each other. So jealous.
That's why they went in opposite
People
directions.
People were like, sure. I can't go to both birthday parties.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Okay. We already know whether you like a tight itinerary or loose plans. Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Skip that one.
Sure. Packing style, meticulous or ridiculous?
I guess it depends. It's been pretty like, because the last like three trips we've taken have been camping or hiking.
Okay.
So we've done backpacking, like throw as many things in a backpack as possible and then go.
And I guess, you know, a lot of layers.
Yeah, I kind of, we usually have like a cold outfit and a warm outfit.
Got it.
But I've gotten really into it because I like knowing where all my stuff is at all time.
Okay.
And it's cool to like have everything with you.
Yeah, that's cool.
So are you part of Packing Cube Nation?
No, but I have heard of Packing Cube Nation. They keep sending me letters. I'm a sphere man. I have learned some packing tips to cram as many things in the backpack.
What are you doing? Are you doing?
I roll them up.
Got them all.
But at the end of the trip, it's really just like cramming.
Oh man,
that's a t-shirt. He rolls.
He rolls. Mm-hmm. We had dinner with one of my cousins who's a business traveler she's like on the road all the time, and we were asking her for packing tips. She was saying, especially for European travel, that they're really strict about liquids in Europe. Have you experienced this? Like when you travel
not
in between?
Really. One time we did buy. I bought like bitters for cocktails in Europe. And we were like, well, we can get these here and bring them back. And I didn't realize that when I bought it, it was in winter and I just put it in my coat pocket.
Oh no.
And then we went through security and he was like, you have a bottle of something in your pocket. And I just like took out a bottle of bitters and he was like, we have to throw this away or you could drink them here. And I was like, I can't. I'm not going to drink a bottle of bitters.
That happened to your cousin too.
She was going through security and she forgot that she had a Zoji Rushi, which for our listeners is an extremely powerful thermos. Like it keeps things so hot.
Oh yeah, best thermos on the market.
On the market. Mm-hmm. But so she had one full of coffee and
like
she was
piping hot coffee.
She was with my brother and security was like, you can like throw the whole thermos away or you can drink it. And she was, like, can I dump it in the trash can? And they were like, no,
your
have
only
to
options
drink
are.
It.
Hold on. Let me call the rest of the gang. And be like, hey, she's going to drink all the thing.
Her and my brother, like back and forth, just chugged this piping hot latte, just burning their mouths, just being like, we have to get to the
giving
flight.
Themselves diarrhea.
Oh, because they were like, you can dump it, but you have to go to a trash can all the way out of security. So chugging was the
There's
only
no
option,
at that point,
which was hilarious.
I would throw out anything to not go through security again.
Right. Well,
a child.
We're just like, I love you, but this is it.
They're like, you either have to drink this child or you have to throw it out.
Oh, what I was going to say about liquids was that she was saying in Europe, European airports are like very strict about the liquid limit. So you have to have all the tiny bottles and the plastic
bags. Because we have those rules here, but I fly all the time with stuff over limit and like not in clear bags. And like, it's just in a normal toiletry bag.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
But it's supposedly, she said.
So she was like, at the airport she's going to, they're pretty aggressive about it. So she was like, what I do is I make sure that I use two bins when I'm putting my stuff through the machine. Yeah. And I have two bags of liquids and I put one in each. And if one gets stopped, the other one usually gets through without any issue.
Wow, so it's a real smuggler's trick.
It is. And then she also said that if she can't get her suitcase closed all the way, what she'll do is stuff like her bulkier items in the sleeves of her coat and then carry that on.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if she has to wear the coat, it's kind of annoying. Yeah, but if you are going to a
court, like a bunch of stuff.
So those were some fun packing tips that we got from my cousin.
Alex's quiz continues.
Okay, so when you're doing a road trip, do you prefer to drive or to navigate?
This trip that I was supposed to be talking about, I got really derailed. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We took it a week after I got my driver's license. 3 weeks ago.
Dan did not drive until recently.
I have this weird thing where I don't want to die.
Not
so
weird.
Driving is like a write off for me.
Do you feel like?
But now I do want to die. So I.
So you're actively thinking about death
all the time.
A lot. Okay.
Yeah. I've come to terms with that, and now it's just an integral part of my everyday life.
Yeah.
This is why I listen to so much Billie Eilish.
There
as
we
Andrew
go.
Knows.
That's true. I
and
do know that.
To
and
to
I
her with me when we were in Los Angeles.
I will.
You don't
listen.
Like Billie Eilish?
I think she's fine.
She's a very talented child.
She's a teen dream.
Yeah, that's fine. That's all fine. Just like it's a not for me situation.
Okay.
Yeah. And I like to keep it cool. I like to be up on music.
I would say
fucking cops. What's the new music?
I did know this about Dan, that he didn't, you know, all the time we worked together and shot videos and sure. and
that
went
you refused
places.
To drive.
No, I, not refuse. He just didn't have his license.
He didn't know how to drive.
Yeah.
That's okay. My best friend doesn't know how to drive.
Yeah.
But she also grew up in Canada and then moved here. Mm-hmm. Well, she grew up in Toronto. So it was like everyone else had a car or she would just take public transit.
Yeah, that's what I would do when I would tell. It's like, why didn't you get a license? Well, you know, I live in the city. And they'd be like, but where'd you grow up? In the suburbs. my brother drove me around.
So, Amelie,
so your brother does Amelie, not have the same fear of death.
No. He immediately got his license.
He lives on the edge.
He's been driving illegally since he was 3 years old.
So Amelie did all the driving on this trip.
It was a 14-day trip driving the better part of each day.
Okay.
I drove for 1 hour. And I was going, and it was on a straight road in like the desert.
With no traffic.
With no traffic. And I was going so slow. And it was so anxious that Amelie was like, okay, this is just not going to work.
Yeah. Andrew thinks I drive too slow, but I think I just drive safe.
Yeah, but my point is more like the speed of traffic. I understand.
I'm doing my best, okay? I don't trust cruise control.
Oh, I love cruise control. On
I
the
don't
long
trust
drive,
it.
I'm a cruise control freak.
I'm also scared of dying when Andrew is driving.
So. Yeah.
Because he keeps making that noise.
Yep. Okay, when you're driving.
Yeah.
Podcasts, tunes.
Yeah, what are you guys listening to?
This was another good idea from Amelie. We were talking about what we wanted to listen to, and my go-to was like, oh, I'm going to put on the same Pavement album I've been listening to since the 90s because I'm very boring. And she had the idea that we would pick two albums or however many albums that neither of us had heard, and that would just be this trip.
Oh.
So that whenever we would hear them from now on, they would be like, oh, this is the road trip album.
Some memory making.
Memory making.
Yeah.
I love that.
We picked two. One was the soundtrack to the David Gordon Green movie Prince Avalanche.
Great.
By Explosions in the Sky. And the other was that, at that point, the most recent, I think it's still the most recent Britney Spears album.
Which one is
that?
Well,
I don't know which one that is.
What's it called?
It's not Blackout.
No.
It's after that. I know which one you're... I can imagine the cover art.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm
a Britney fan.
We'll put it on our social feed as Dan's favorite album.
Sure. I do like Britney. I can talk about Britney.
She's an icon.
If you want.
Did you get to see her in Vegas?
No, I also had tickets for her New York show in my cart on Ticketmaster. And then I was like, well, this is pretty expensive. I should check in with my wife before I pull the trigger on these. And then they slipped through my fingers.
No.
And then, of course, Amelie was like, why didn't you just
oh
buy
my God.
I should have just bought them.
Yeah.
The album that you're talking about is Glory.
Glory, yeah. That's it.
It was good?
It's fine, yeah. It's
okay.
It's more Britney.
I got to check it out.
All right.
I love
Britney.
Let's wrap up the quiz. Okay.
Quiz.
That's kind of it for road trips. Oh, okay. Do you have like a travel drink? Like, are you a coffee guy?
Yeah, what's your snack situation in the car?
What's your snack situation in the car?
Oh, man, just keep that water flowing, you know?
Yeah.
Just crisp water. I think we always try to get the local drink of whatever, wherever we're going. As far as snacks, I'm trying to think if we've had, like, a specific road
snack. Here's my pick for road trip snacks. Mm-hmm. Corn nuts.
Oh, yeah. You never eat those unless we're on the road.
I love corn nuts. They sell them at Trader Joe's as Peruvian...
Inca corn
or something.
Yeah, but they're not the same.
Peruvian
but
Inca corn. But the big ones, they're really big, right?
Those are the bigger ones.
I've been trying to find those. Like, Goya sells those to Goethe, and I don't know where to
go. You can find the not big ones as just corn nuts.
Right, yeah.
But
right. I just want the big corn.
I think the big ones... Do you know that grocery store that's... Bigger. What's the... It was a Key Food, I think, the one that we used to drive to in Williamsburg?
Oh, yeah. Like South Williamsburg?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They got the big corns?
They got the big corns because they have a huge South American food section.
Yes. Absolutely. If you go to like a grocery store that has South American section.
Yeah. I just remember walking in and it was like truly like a 12-foot tower of Goya cans.
Because, oh, yeah.
Yes.
Absolutely, yes.
Good to know. Great. That quiz slapped hard as hell, Billie Eilish.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, mostly on road trips, I want to eat smart food.
Yeah,
I want to eat smart food. But we do the thing of the getting a big gulp cup full of ice.
Oh yeah,
and
that's
using
our
that
move.
To keep the water cold. Sure, yeah.
So we get a big gulp, whatever the biggest that'll fit in the cup holder is.
Sure.
Fill it completely up with ice, and usually when you're driving around the country, they only charge you like 50 cents for that if you're not getting a drink.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then we just we buy like big jugs of water and we just keep filling that cup.
That's a fantastic
So you keep
idea.
That ice.
Yeah.
That water nice and icy.
I have to have ice. I don't like water without ice generally.
Mm-hmm. I don't mind water without ice that much, but I prefer it with ice.
Guys, stop fighting. Enough.
Okay,
let's get into this
We've gotten some great tips. Let's get into the actual episode.
Sorry.
Okay.
People are checking their fucking watch.
Fault.
Like,
this
what the
what
fuck?
We want. This is what we
okay.
want.
Okay,
am I listening to this weird Jewish guy?
So we know the reason why you did this trip. You wanted to drive to as remote a place as you could do.
Great.
How did you find this place? What was this like trip up there like?
I had never heard of it.
Is what's it called again?
Fogo
Island.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was Amelie's plan to go to that island, and then I looked at a picture of the island and was like, yes, sign me up.
It's very beautiful.
It's very beautiful in this very unique way that I will lead up to with my notes. Let me just...
He's got
notes.
He's
got notes.
He's
wrestled
the
pages and pages and pages and pages.
My Moleskine that I used to do my ink drawings.
Okay. All right. All right. Go for it.
Should I go day? I wrote like day one, day two.
Great,
sure,
please.
Do it.
Okay, I'll do this as fast as possible.
You're one of our more prepared guests.
Yeah.
Yeah, honestly, yes.
So day one, picking the Britney Spears album. No. So the first day was from here to Portland.
Okay.
Maine, with a stopover in what we read was the inspiration for the Gilmore Girls Town Stars Hollow, Washington, Connecticut.
How was it?
It was fine.
Okay.
It wasn't as Gilmore Girls as we wanted it to be.
Are you guys big Gilmore Girls heads?
We are, yes.
Did you find the coffee shop that was the inspiration for...
Apparently it's there and they have a Gilmore Girls festival.
Wow.
Yearly. But we weren't in the midst of that.
Maybe the next generation of teens will feel about Friends.
How?
Sure.
We'll feel about Gilmore
Girls. Gilmore
Girls
will come back.
Yeah.
I came into Gilmore Girls way late, like 2 years ago. We watched the whole, or I guess before this trip.
Never seen an episode.
I've seen.
Oh, really? It's only like 1,000 hours.
I know.
Check it out.
And also about 10 times as many words in every episode.
Sure,
as the normal
but
episode.
I love Mrs. Maze, and it's an Amy Sherman
like
Palladino joint.
Yeah.
I just kind of missed it when I was in high school.
Yeah, same.
Like nobody at my high school is really into like Dawson's Creek or Gilmore Girls, any of those like
both
big
of those
shows
I watched recently.
Really?
The first time, yeah.
How was Dawson's Creek?
It's good until they go to college and then I stop watching.
Honestly, whenever they go to college in a high school show, it's
no
like,
one should
why am
go
I watching
to college.
This?
Yeah, the main draw to that show was like the cozy small town. And then
Anyway. Okay.
I met Amy Sherman Palladino once at a party.
Was she wearing the hat?
She was wearing the hat.
Was she cool?
She was very cool and I blew it. We were all talking in a group and I, to toot my own horn, I made her laugh a couple of times.
Yep.
And then she looked at me and said, "What is your name?" And I went, Dan, and then I walked away. And no. I never gave her any more.
You could have been on Mrs. Maisel.
I could have played Miss Maisel herself.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I'm sure of it.
It was close.
She was very nice.
I feel like you could be on Mrs. Maisel. Let's get your headshot in there.
Jewish enough?
Yes.
But am I not Jewish enough to play such a Jewish caricature?
We got to move through these days.
Okay. I'm loving it.
Okay. So we end up in Portland, Maine. We got Maine potato donuts at the Holy Donut. It was very good.
Did you eat a lobster?
We ate a lobster.
What's a potato donut?
There's a donut place in Portland, Maine called the Holy Donut, and their secret ingredient, I guess it's not a secret, their thing is that their donuts are made with mashed potatoes from Maine.
Yeah, I've heard this. Yeah. This is a thing people do with potatoes sometimes because it gives it more of like a
mushy,
it helps
melt in your mouth kind of
thing. Yeah, it helps keep that dough very soft.
All right.
Yeah.
It's good.
I'm not sold, but I'd be interested.
You're not tasting any potato.
I'll spend the rest of this podcast until
selling
you are
me
sold.
On it.
Yeah.
All right.
They're,
so
they're round.
Mashed potato donut. They look like regular donuts?
They look like regular donuts.
Okay.
You would never know.
Wow.
You would just know that they were delicious donuts.
Great.
Yeah.
And then someone would jump out and reveal that
you
had been fooled.
You.
You ate a potato. Second day. Woke up in the morning, had coffee, wasn't too...
Oh my God.
But minute by minute, I want it.
We went to Bangor, Maine, where Stephen King is from. Uh-huh. Where,
did you know, I learned this recently, mm-hmm. There's no way you would know this.
Nope.
Stephen King, from age like 8 till 11, lived in the town I grew up in.
Oh, Stratford?
Yeah, before he moved, his family
moved. 8 to 11 is so insignificant.
What an informative age, though.
Yeah, for sure.
It's probably when he started to really understand what spooky
do you think
stuff
was. Terrifying
the
shit happened to him in Stratford,
house.
And that's why he
potentially,
left.
Potentially, yeah. we did
invent ghosts.
We did kill a witch in my town. There was a lot of spooky stuff.
Yeah, quick sidebar. I drove through Salem a couple of months ago on another road trip, and all their whole infrastructure is like witch stuff.
Yeah,
and then you forget that real people were killed, and mm-hmm. it was like look a wand store where these people were killed.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah,
yeah. I have friends who go to the Salem Halloween ball every year. Mm-hmm.
It's very cozy.
Yeah,
it's a very cozy town built upon a horrible story of true murders. Yeah.
Although, they did. They did build an ice cream shop named after the witch that was
oh,
killed.
They burn.
And to be fair. She could have been a witch, right?
Andrew, good
apparently,
God.
Apparently, I learned last week that there were no one was burned in Salem.
Oh.
They just hung, I think. It's still very bad, but.
Yeah, not
yeah.
good. My friends who go to the Halloween ball, they got engaged at the Salem Halloween ball, but he was Frankenstein and she was Bride of Frankenstein. Mm-hmm. And so they were going around like telling people they just got engaged and they were like, yeah, we know Frankenstein.
Oh, they
Frankenstein,
thought it was part of the bit. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, okay, and?
It sucks that there's that much removal where Frankenstein is like the monster of Frankenstein.
Yes.
And the Bride of Frankenstein is the bride
of
the
monster of
Frankenstein.
Uh-huh.
What's her name?
I don't know. She probably has a name. Tweet at us if you know her name. Please. Anyway. Okay.
Wow, cool. So
Bangor, Maine.
Went to Stephen King's house, saw him stretching on his front porch and then going for a run. His house is, because I was like, well, he's Stephen King. He must have exquisite, refined tastes. And his house is on like the things to do here.
Okay.
His house is a spooky mansion.
It is?
Like there's like a big metal
yeah,
gate
it's like
with
a
like,
Tudor
haunt,
mansion.
Like black hats
oh
and
my God.
On it. Yeah, like it's...
He's
it
Mr.
looks
Spooky.
Like Stephen King. He was like, if I'm going to be Stephen King, I'm just going to be Stephen King.
You got to lean in.
Yeah.
Commit to the bit, you know? Uh-huh. Wow.
That's the kind of writer.
That's awesome.
He's the one that he can't remember a couple of the books he wrote because he was on cocaine.
Every single TV show and movie is a Stephen King adaptation.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah, now it's, he's very high.
And then when they're finished, they just do them again.
Yeah. Wow. I've never been to Maine. Seems great. No, I don't know
that
I'll ever get
fantastic.
There.
We've been back a couple times since.
Yeah, Maine
so
rules.
Much. Yeah.
All right,
went
we
to Maine
to
every
Maine.
Summer as a kid.
Yeah, never
it's
been.
It's amazing.
I gotta check
I
it out.
I recommend Maine. Bangor is very adorable. And
banging.
Yeah, Bangor's banging.
If that's not a t-shirt, someone is fucking up.
I've also never read Stephen King in my life.
Oh, okay. Misery's very
too
good.
Too scary for my blood.
I know.
Misery's a great book.
Yeah, I've seen the movie and it's great. I didn't know there was a book about it.
What's
I know Lizzie Kaplan is playing her in.
What's the one I was trying? To...
Castle Rock.
Yeah,
my what's friend has a big part on it.
Hey,
showbiz.
I met Amy Sherman.
I'm Dan.
Hollywood,
right,
baby.
Let's keep moving up north.
Okay,
we're leaving Bangor. We drive through the woods of Maine for what feels like several days.
Okay,
and then realize that we are running out of gas and have no cell phone reception. and start to panic.
No.
There is a gas station that looks like it's from 100 years ago that I walk in and assume that I'm going to be killed by ghosts.
Yep.
No one is in there. And then in the middle of the road, there's a tiny store, just like a tiny brick building. And I go in and there's just like, it's just like a modern day convenience store with a guy working there who says, hi, like this is a normal part. But it was like bookended by hours of just woods.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden there's like a store, like, I don't know how he comes to work every morning or where he lives.
Yeah.
Wow. That's crazy.
So we get to the border. We cross into the border of Canada with no problems because it's Canada and they are happy that we're there and they wish us the best and everybody's super nice.
That's good.
Yeah, they're usually pretty nice
Sierra,
at that border.
My
yeah.
friend was telling me that her back. Husband got detained at the border because he's a professional poker player and he was going up there and he had a suitcase full of cash and then he had crushed up a bunch of Adderall in the cup holder.
The two ingredients for poker.
And so he's not allowed back to Canada.
Really?
Really?
Yeah, he wasn't allowed in. He couldn't go to the tournament because they were just like, this looks sketchy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it did. I mean, that's a couple red flags.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so my funny. God. They were just like,
Well, I guess the catch is okay as long as there's not a bunch of wipeout. Oh, there it is. Okay. No.
That's his favorite car trip snack.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a big old full of crushed up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny.
You don't understand it. I need these to gamble.
I need them. Anyway.
Cool. So we find a campground and I camp for the first time.
Cool.
In Canada.
What
it's
was that
nice.
Like?
It was great. I didn't know how camping worked.
You'd never camped before this.
And I didn't know that there are campgrounds where you can pull up with your car and they have firewood and it's like there's an infrastructure. I thought it was just like go into the woods and whatever happens,
find a
happens.
Spot.
Yeah. Which is what back end camping is.
Yeah.
But this was like we pulled up and it had gotten dark and I didn't know what to expect. And the woman who was working the front gate was just like, do you need firewood? Here it is. Here, enjoy. And there's families playing guitar and fairy lights. And it was very magical and nice. Oh. And good, and a good
that
experience.
That sounds so nice. Do people bring the fairy lights, or that's just like part
in Canada,
of this?
All the trees just grow with fairy lights.
Fairy lights full of maple
syrup. You've got to get to Canada. Yeah,
it's, oh my God.
It's nice. So that day ends and the next day starts. And then we go to Bay of Fundy National Park, which has like these brilliant, great rock formations that you can walk through.
Cool.
How far into Canada is this?
A couple of hours. Like,
okay.
Not so far. It's
we're
like
just
the first stop.
We're at tip of the iceberg.
And this is on like the most east coast of Canada.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've never been to Toronto or Montreal or anywhere else in Canada.
Got
so
it. Because you're just riding the edge.
What was insane was that when we crossed the border, everything became nice. Like the roads were perfect.
Really?
The street signs were immaculate.
That's Canada for
yeah, me. like it was almost like a middle finger. Where it was like you look to one side and it's just like a dump. And you look to the other side and it's just
I hope
like,
you messed
on.
It up a little, made it a little more
yeah,
American.
I was definitely the worst person in the country.
Cool.
Oh my God. And then okay, so where are we? I'm gonna check my notes here.
You so left the campground.
Yeah, so we're this.
You're at the rock formations.
We're going through New Brunswick in Canada.
Okay.
To Nova Scotia, which is like a tiny peninsula.
Yeah.
And then we'll get the ferry to Newfoundland.
Okay.
And I just wrote down here. I remember putting on the radio because we're like, "What's Canadian radio?"
Yeah.
And there was a big news story that they kept going back to about how there were so many missing cats in this
what?
Part of town.
Uh-huh. Why?
But it was treated like. This was a string of grisly murders.
That's amazing. Like, it was like the top yet again, story. Another yeah, missing like, cat.
There were interviews with police chiefs. No, there were no. cat sounds. Yeah, it was amazing.
Oh you got God. It. It's important.
And that was all we alternated between that and the show that we discovered, this radio show called The Great Debaters, where they would pick two Canadian comedians. They would give them each a thing and they would have to debate. And the episode that we listened to was one of them had lakes and one of them had rivers.
No.
And they both had to make cases for each thing.
How long an episode?
They were pretty long, maybe about a half an hour.
Did the other comedian have to rebut?
Yes.
Okay.
It was like an actual debate, but about the merits of lakes and river versus
this
rivers.
This is an improv game, no?
It's something. I've definitely seen this pitched as a web series before.
Oh, sure. Okay.
But
it was great.
Sounds like they found a way to
I'm
make
excited.
It work.
My favorite thing was that there was another episode after that where the host moderator was like, you've been given pizza, of course, and you've been given, I think it was cheeseburgers. And then the cheeseburger comedian was like, they told me that I had pizza, that I had pizza. So the two comedians had both written cases for pizza. And the host was just like, all right, do them.
Yeah.
So they just like argued for pizza at each other.
That's
wow.
So funny.
And it was fantastic.
Wait, are you pro lakes, pro rivers?
Give me a river. Got to be moving.
What about you?
I'm a lake man myself.
Wow. This is where we part ways.
This is the
Let's bring this to America.
Yeah. There we go. All right.
And that was pretty much the show. Okay. So we get to the ferry.
Mm-hmm. Nice
this
ferry?
Is the ferry to go to...
To go to Newfoundland. Which takes 12 hours.
The ferry
takes 12 hours?
So we bring the car on the ferry. We got
a room. Is there no... like bridge or anything to Newfoundland?
It's floating.
Wow.
It's an island.
I didn't realize it was that far off the coast.
I didn't either. And there may be closer points, but we're...
Yeah. What do you know about Newfoundland, Andrew?
The dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, that's part of there are two... they're not countries.
And Nova Scotia's up there too,
yeah,
right?
That's where we went through Nova Scotia to get the ferry, but it's called Newfoundland and Labrador.
Yeah.
Both dog breeds, but those are the connective like places.
Both cute dog breeds. Yeah. Really
there was a giant sculpture of both breeds that I stood between.
Oh, wow.
Gonna
need a copy of that picture.
Wow, wow, wow. Okay. I'm sorry. The ferry takes 12 hours?
And you got a room on the ferry?
We got a room this time. We didn't on the way back, but we got a tiny hotel room.
Okay. If you didn't get a room, did you sleep in the car?
Like? There were just chairs. There's like a bar. There's like a dinner buffet.
Is it usually overnight or is it?
You can do either one. Okay. The way back we did the day one because we missed the night one. But more on that later.
Okay, great.
But the crazy thing about the ferry is that we, before going to sleep, it was nighttime. So we went out under the deck to look.
Yeah.
And I've never been on a cruise or anything.
Oh.
But there was nothing. There's no light. There's no horizon. There's no land.
Just darkness.
Just complete blackness. Wow. It's like a video game where like they forgot to render the rest.
Yes.
So it's the boat you're on and then some white foam around the edge of the boat and then abysmal darkness.
Did it freak you out?
It freaked me out, but in like a very cool, I was like, we could be in outer space right now.
Yeah.
It was very magical and cool.
I love that.
It was cool. They had
so many new experiences for you in one trip.
I do feel a lot of the trips that we take together, I'm just like, wow, what is this? And somebody will be like, it's a drink. it's beer. Wow.
That's Molson.
I love that. That's what travel's supposed to do. Make you be like, wow, just the world around you.
World's,
I love that.
We say it all the time. The world's big.
Mm-hmm. The world, it's big.
It's big.
I've heard you say that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Those were your wedding vows, too.
Yeah.
What can I say?
The world's big. Okay. So you're on this 12-hour ferry.
Uh-huh.
How's the bed on a 12-hour ferry?
It was fine. We're also both very agreeable. Like, this is what it is. This is what it is.
Yeah.
So that was very, it was just a very fun
experience. Can you just roll up and buy tickets? You got to reserve in advance.
I think you can. We reserved in advance. Okay. I'm not exactly sure, but we booked the room and the tickets in advance for this specific trip.
So you get off this 12-hour boat
ride. It's early in the morning, very foggy. We emerge in in Newfoundland, and there's nothing there. Like, it's just like some plains and grass and dirt roads and fog.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, this is what Newfoundland looks like. It's all this.
Great.
And we drove for a while to an ecological, what was it called? Reserve. I have it in my notes here.
Sorry, I'm coughing.
It's okay.
Cape St. Mary's Ecological Reserve, which is a breeding ground for many types of birds.
Okay.
And it's just a cliffside. And because it's not America, there's no, like, if you're stupid, you'll die. Like, there's no barrier. You're just on the cliffside.
Wow.
But there are just thousands and thousands of birds, like, covering the rock faces, and you can just sit and watch them.
It was like a lot of squawking.
It's a lot of squawking. Which I love. If you're not a big fan of
Dan falls asleep every night listening to thousands of birds squawking.
I love birds. Love them more when they're when they're blocking out any other sound.
Oh my god! Do you love birds?
I do love birds very much.
I'm pretty anti bird.
I'm fine.
All birds.
You would really have to sell me on birds.
Oh, I mean, you're around pigeons a lot, which aren't even really birds.
Yeah,
they're more like lizards.
I haven't met a bird that I was like, you're great.
Yeah,
there should be more of you.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm like that for most birds.
Really? What's your favorite bird?
I like house sparrows. I just like house regular sparrows. Plain sparrows.
Oh, wow. You know, like, the names of different kinds of birds.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
I like birds.
I love that you love birds. Sorry that I'm a bird hater.
I'm a cartoon. Andrew mentioned that I always wear Converse high tops, and I just mentioned loving birds.
Oh, my God. I think maybe it's because, like, my dad, like, loves birds and got really into bird photography, and I was just like, I can't. This
is definitely
too much.
A thing. I've noticed more bird content on Netflix, or maybe just because of this.
Yes, there is a lot of bird content.
Yeah, I think it's
also, Planet Earth. You watch a Planet Earth, it's like 50%
birds.
Yeah,
honestly, I feel like
when you think of it, the sky
it
is like
birds.
50% of Earth. When you think about it. Are you thinking about it? I am.
All right, well, so you love birds. You're seeing birds
everywhere.
Great.
Yeah.
Did you camp here?
Not here. The goal for this trip was to get from the entrance of Newfoundland, the big gate entrance, to St. John's, the biggest city in Newfoundland. Okay. So we finally got there. It's dark. We got like a
hotel. How'd you get there?
We're still in the car.
Yeah, you're still in your car.
So we stay at like the hotel, a hotel that we found, because there's no plan. We just like, this is the hotel. They have a room.
Right.
And then the second night we did some exploring. Went to a brewery where they make beer using iceberg water. Beer that was very good. Mm. Got a case of that. Because what's cool about having the car for camping is that whatever fits in the car you can take, you don't have to worry about, like, will this fit on the plane? Or can
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So we just, like, kept putting more snacks and food in
there. Also, it feels like there's, like, almost zero people, so you don't have to worry about people breaking into your car.
Yeah, and also nobody would break into your car.
Everyone's so nice.
So we find an Airbnb of a woman who has a house in like the middle of the city, and we went in and we were like, what's that smell? And the woman was like, oh, this isn't my real house. I just use it. I'm a baker. I use it to bake my pies. So sorry about the smell.
Does it smell amazing?
I'll leave you alone. And it smelled fantastic.
Oh my God.
It was a house that somebody uses to bake pies.
Wow. So it just smelled like butter and sugar?
Yeah, it just smelled like apple pie and butter.
Wow.
It was great.
Wow. So you're sleeping in a magic pie house.
So we slept in a bunch of butter, and it was amazing. St. John's is wonderful. We went to that brewery.
How big a city are we talking?
Not too big. I feel like we did it. Like we did the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
We went to like a big lookout where you can see the whole city and the pier and read about the history.
Uh-huh.
We went to, what else did we do in St. John's? We went to a giant supermarket. I don't know why I think this is so funny, but it was like the biggest supermarket I've ever seen. And it was called Dominion.
Uh-huh.
And the logo was like the most impactful, bold, condensed, like sans serif font.
Uh-huh.
I also went to typography. And it was just funny. Like, you have to go to Dominion. Welcome to my Dominion. We have Doritos. So we went there.
How are Canadian Doritos?
They're fantastic. They're round, which is really weird.
Oh, come on. Don't give them that.
It's so stupid and funny.
So St. John's was great.
Yeah.
Great city. And then it was time to get the fuck out of there. So we went on the way to another city called Buena Vista, which is like the kind of like, if you live in St. John's and you want to go to like a quaint excursion, you go to Buena Vista.
Okay.
So we went to a puffin watch where you can see real puffins.
Cute. That's cute. There's a bird you like.
Yeah.
They're cute. Yeah. I wouldn't want to like
something
pick
I
one
did
up.
Learn. How big do you think puffins are?
I think they're this size. They're like a little bit bigger than a pigeon.
Okay. I thought that they were penguin size.
Oh, really? No.
Yeah. I thought that they were real big.
So you were like, wow, a lot of baby puffins.
Yeah, I was like, one of them,
here.
I'm going to ask one of them to be my butler. No, that's going to be great. They were tiny, but they were very cool to see. Real puffins.
Yeah.
Very adorable.
It's hard to see puffins.
Yeah, they were pretty. We had binoculars and you can see them, but like I tried to take a picture and it just looks like pixels. Like there's no.
That's so discernible. Funny. Yeah, it's like they're hard. Like they have them in Iceland too, and it's hard mm-hmm. to kind of track them
yeah.
down.
Yeah.
They always look like very anxious, and I'm sure it's because they need to be alone.
Yeah. Yeah.
To do their sick fucking puffin stuff. Sick fucks. So we went to. It's also every place in Newfoundland, every city is like on the water to see the whole ocean.
Uh-huh.
So we went to like beautiful. A pie place, and this like British guy was like, oh, I just moved here because I like it here. I'll make you guys some pie. And it was like, he didn't make pie for us. He had pie because it was a pie place.
Sure.
He gave us some pie. We ate pie. We looked at the ocean. It was very nice. Still thinking about how funny I thought Dominion was at this uh-huh. point.
Dominion is very funny. It's such a mean name for a grocery store.
Yeah. So this is, we camped for a couple of nights around here because it was like a national park.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And we went to different hikes around different cities around there.
Okay.
One city was called Trinity, which is like the most idyllic drawing of a quaint town that I've ever been to.
Wow.
Like every house is a different vibrant color. There's just like everybody's nice. In my brain, it's every day. I don't know how often they actually do it. But when we showed up, they were in the middle of their reenactment of the founding of the town.
No.
In like
wow.
the town square.
Like for real?
Yeah. And it was just like a bunch of people saying like, and now what should we call this place? Let's call it Trinity. And it was wonderful. It was great.
That's the cutest thing I've ever heard.
How are the actors?
Fantastic.
Wow.
And I'm from New York fucking city. Yes. So I know
I mean,
good acting.
You know,
I met Amy
Sherman
Palladino.
You've been in Better Call Saul.
Yeah,
you are an
sure.
actor.
I was on a TV show 5 years ago once.
Same.
And everybody remembers. Yeah.
Wow.
At this point in the trip, I opened the car door too hard. causing something to break, making me unable to open the door from the inside. Cool. So now whenever I have to go out of the car, Amelie has to open and walk around.
Your butler.
Open the door for me.
This is what you wanted that puffin to do.
Sure, which is a puffin's work, really. So this happens, and we go to the mechanic in town, and everybody has like a very thick Newfoundland accent, which is kind of like a Irish kind of accent, but to the nth degree, like almost indecipherable to a stupid person like me. So he's telling us that he has so many cars to work on today, he doesn't think he'll have time to fix this really quick, because we're like on the road.
Right.
And he like thinks for a while, because he really wants to help, and he's like, I think Jeremy can fix it. If you go down the road to a white house and knock on the door, ask for Jeremy. Jeremy is really good at fixing cars. He might be able to fix his car. And we were like, really? Just your friend Jeremy? And I guess he works with sometimes. And he was like, yeah, that's all I can tell you to do. So we went into town and we find a white house, and there are like four houses. And we knock on the door, and like a big dog starts barking, and the guy like opens the door, and I'm like, oh, in America, somebody's going to kill me now. And like this guy opens the door and stares at me and says like, what? And I'm like, I'm looking for Jeremy. Are you Jeremy? And he like, his face turns into a smile, and he's like, oh, that's Jeremy's house across the street. He's across the street. Okay, thanks. So we go across the street, and I knock on another door, and a woman answers the door, and I see behind her, there's like a kitchen where like her whole family's having breakfast. And I'm like, I'm so sorry, but somebody told me that Jeremy could fix our car. And she nods and says, like, Jeremy, there are people here to see you. And Jeremy comes out. And I'm like, I'm so sorry to bother you, but I'm stupid. And I opened the door too hard because I was so excited about hiking. And they said, you can fix this. And he was like, oh, absolutely. So he just talked to us as he opened the inside of the car door and, like, made, like, a makeshift pulley out of, like, some wire and, like, fixed the door. And at one point he was like, so where are you guys from? And we were like, New York. And he was like, oh, do you know it's Stacy and Carl? And I was like, no. And he was like, I don't know why you would know. I only know two people who went to New York. And he was extremely nice. And he fixed the door immediately. And then said, this is fun for me. This is fun. No worries about payment.
Wow.
It took me 2 minutes.
Oh, my God.
And after we got home, we tried to find his house on Google Maps Street View.
Uh-huh.
And we sent a postcard to what we hope is his actual
house. Oh, that's nice.
That's nice.
But that was amazing.
I had a similar thing happen where the one and only time I've been to Montreal, I was driving up there with some friends. Different sketch group. Sorry, Dan.
That's okay.
Really? When I was in...
One video a year isn't enough for you.
And... the trunk, we had crammed so much. It was five people into a car driving up to Montreal, and we had crammed so much stuff into the trunk that we like bent something so it couldn't close anymore.
Yeah.
And so we were like, fuck. We hadn't even left Connecticut yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to a place, and they were like, oh, we don't really have time. This is actually a really hard fix.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, or I could just try to bend it with a big piece of wood. And we were like, yeah, do that. Do
cars,
the wood thing.
Cars aren't a science.
And so he just bent it so it could close, but it wasn't like right.
Yeah.
But it worked. And then he was like, we were like, oh, how much do we owe you? And he was like, oh, nothing. It took me no time. And so he was like, just buy me a case of beer. And we were like, okay, yeah. And then we were like, oh, wait, none of us are 21 yet.
Oh, no.
Okay, we'll have one of our dads buy you beer and drop it off here.
You made it work.
Did you?
Yeah, when we got back.
Okay. But
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah, wow. I wish I had a brain for that stuff of like fixes, like quick fixes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A lot of times on these trips, I definitely feel like a Brooklyn boy where I'm just like, a car, no work. And they're like, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
I love that.
And I will mention at this point that on the last day of the trip, right before we returned the car to my brother, I broke the door handle again.
Right.
And it is still
sorry,
broken.
Jeremy.
Yeah.
I wish you had opened the door and it was Jeremy Irons.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
That would have been cool.
That would have been something.
And then he fixed the car. And then
I wish that about a lot. Yeah. I wish I looked through the binoculars and all the puffins were just little Jeremy Irons.
So cars fixed.
We're going. We've been camping. Every time we camp, we pick some flowers and put them in a little vase on the camp table. We're making baked potatoes in the oven. We got our coffees. It's very amazing and beautiful and a great camping experience.
And romantique.
Mm-hmm. It's romantique. So
cute. And at this point, Amelie and I have known each other for maybe 4 days, several years. So now day eight, we're finally getting to the place where we're going.
Amazing.
So we take another ferry, which is 1 hour with the car, to Fogo Island, which is tiny. And it is pouring rain. And we get to the campsite on Fogo Island. And there's a big stage where I guess there's like some fairy lights on the stage where I guess they might do some events or performances. Like an
amphitheater type
thing. Yeah, but it's like a wooden stage. And it's pouring rain. And we do some exploring, but it is like... you can't see anything. It's just like white,
it's too
like
much.
Pouring rain and gusts of wind. So we're like, oh, I guess this is what the temperature is like here. And we go to camp and we're like, well, maybe there's less wind resistance. We're the only people camping here tonight. So we're like, well, if we put the tent on the stage, there'd be less wind. So I have a picture of like our tent, our like little red tent on in like the middle of the stage.
That's and, like, so funny, an like a play.
Yeah. But we were trying to sleep, but the tent was literally lifting off the ground.
Oh, my God.
No. To, like, our legs. So we go into the car and, like, sleep in the car and then wake up the next morning. And it is, like, it's like in The Wizard of Oz where she comes out of the door to Oz. And it's just like, oh, this is the most beautiful place in the world.
Wow.
It's not raining anymore.
Okay.
This is a perfect, amazing place. The weird thing about Fogo, not weird, but is that its infrastructure was based on the cod industry.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was like, it was a cod island. That's where the money came from. And then cod fishing decreased. And this woman who was born there went to mainland Canada, made a shit ton of money in, I think she worked for an oil company, and then like a tech startup, and made a lot of money, and then came back and opened this beautiful luxury hotel.
This is the hotel that I assume comes up when you Google Fogo Island. It's like the number one thing.
Oh. And it is like... You need to look it up.
It's like it's on stilts.
It's an ultra modern architectural marvel.
Oh, crazy.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Did you stay there?
No, it's expensive.
It's very fancy.
We went there and took a tour.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Cool?
It's amazing.
It looks
amazing.
There's
a helicopter pad for like movie stars to be flown in.
Yeah, of course. I guess I feel like most people's experience who have been there have probably gone to go to this hotel.
Yeah, that's what's there. Zita Cobb, that woman, you can watch like a documentary about her, and she like revitalized this island because now everybody has jobs in the hotel. They're chefs.
Cool.
Like all the jobs in the hotel are from Fogo Island native.
That's so nice.
She's like the savior of Fogo Island.
Yeah. Just making her little corner of the world better.
Yeah. And now there's kind of in the area by the hotel, there's like an ice cream place and like a really nice restaurant, and there are new things that are good. And then around the island, it's like there are two arms of it. It looks kind of like a hand.
Mm-hmm.
And they like the town in the southern tip is called Seldom Come By is the name of the town. And then the two towns that we were primarily in, and you can drive around the whole island in like, I think, less than an hour. Like, it's not big.
Uh-huh.
I think there are 2,200 people who live there.
Wow.
And it's also weird because I don't know enough about nature, but I guess the trees sent each other a memo and said, we're only getting this big. And it looks like a Bjork video or like a train set where like every square foot looks like a miniature forest.
Oh, wow.
Where there are like little rivers and streams. And it looks like fantastical like when you're driving by. And I couldn't, like, no photograph looks correct. Like,
yeah.
Oh, cool.
It was so amazing.
That's a cool thing about windswept like ocean islands is that
nothing gets too tall.
If it does, it just gets blown over.
Yeah.
So like everything gets to be very like cute and adorable.
Yeah. And it was like a fantasy world.
Yeah. Is it cold?
It was like chill, like a...
What time of year was it?
It was August, but I was wearing a fleece and a raincoat and it was like... It was like wharf chic, I would say.
Yeah. I know what that means.
I'll say that louder. Wharf chic.
Wharf chic.
Yeah. Everybody was wearing full on Star Trek.
We get that.
I really want to go there now. I guess
I'm bastard.
I have like the raincoat like Gordon's fisherman wears.
Sure.
Yeah.
And now I want to go there and wear it.
That's the place for it.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Now you have a reason to have that coat.
I mean, have a reason one day a year in Los Angeles, so that's enough for me.
One of the cool things about the hotel is that they had a partnership with, they have an artist in residency program.
Okay.
And throughout the island are these like beautifully ultra modern, tiny cubic houses for artists to live in and make work.
Oh, wow.
But they're remote and remote parts of the island. So if you're driving down a road and you just see like a plank of wood, you just like follow the wooden plank, like a half an hour. And then in the middle of just like a field, is just like this beautiful ultra modern house, like room house.
So if you were the artist that lived there, you would like park on the road and then walk half an hour?
I guess. I don't even know if you need a car. I guess you have to drive around. So, but I don't know how they
Does it mean artists in residence in the sense that like this is where they're working, or you could go to their like house thing and see their work?
I think you could theoretically say like, can I have dinner with you? But I think it's just where artists come to make stuff.
Gotcha.
Wow.
Just because, and I totally understand why like musicians and artists are like, I have to go to Berlin for this album because I need other, like as soon as you go there, you're like, I need to output these things. I need to make more stuff.
Wow.
And it completely like turned my brain into mush and then reformed, and like so many different parts of the world had been illuminated to me.
Wow.
So we're still in the campground.
Okay.
And the owner of the campground says that they're going to do a screech in. And a screech in is when they like kind of initiate you as like a Fogo. Because Fogo is it's one of the Flat Earth Society's four corners.
Okay.
And they have like a Flat Earth Society office, but it's like a tourist thing where like if you want to see all four corners of the world, this is like the most remote place.
Okay.
So I guess it's popular for people to go there.
Got it.
So they did a
Kyrie Irving might go there.
Sure.
Because he's a flat earther.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I am not. But I still think it's fun and cool. Because nobody gets hurt when you're a flat earther. Yep. Did you guys watch that documentary?
Yeah. No. I really want to watch it because it's supposed to be so good.
When their experiments don't work.
It's a flat earth documentary where a lot of the people are flat earthers and they think they're going to prove that the earth is flat, and they like get all this really expensive equipment and they're like, so once I set up this laser and I turn it on, it's going to go through this hole here and that's going to prove it's flat. Mm-hmm. And then they like do it and it's like, weird, it's not working.
You know,
maybe let me adjust it, though that would mean that the world was round, so I'll just try it. And then like that immediately works. Yeah. And it's like,
there's one where he was like, if the earth is really curved, I wouldn't be able to see my friend on the other side of this lake. All right, let's see, hold up your sign. And then you can't see him, and it's like, what? Maybe if you put it on a stick, there it is. See? And like, he just like holds it up high.
But it's a lot of people. I think it's so funny to spend a lot of money on like real scientific equipment. Like this equipment works.
Yeah.
To prove something that can't be proven is really funny.
I recommend it. So the screech in, there's like a community center in Fogo, the town of Fogo on Fogo Island. And everybody from the town goes there, and also people who are visiting. So there was a couple from the Netherlands and two other Germans. And we just like talked. I just spoke to a bunch of people from Fogo, and they serve dinner and their drinks. And then everybody who's visiting gets rounded up onto the dance floor, and somebody from Fogo comes and like initiates you.
Okay.
And you have to like, there are Fogo phrases.
Okay.
It's said in a like thick Fogo Newfoundland accent.
Okay. Uh-huh.
That you have to like repeat and master those phrases.
Okay.
And then
you get them ahead of time.
What happens?
No.
Okay. They just teach them to you.
What happens if you don't learn them?
Everybody laughs at you. but I fucking nailed it. And then you have to drink Fogo whiskey, which is like moonshine.
Sure.
It's insanely strong. Everybody does a shot of that. And then you have to kiss the cod. And they bring a frozen cod, and everybody has to kiss it on the mouth. So it's like hazing. There's a Bourdain episode about Newfoundland where he does it.
Oh, great.
I think it's a Newfoundland tradition.
The smile that came over my husband's face about the thought of kissing a frozen fish.
This comes up on every episode, yeah.
What a joy. Just making a bunch of strangers kiss a fish and be like, you know, actually, you have to do this.
Yeah.
I'd give that fish a little
tongue. Was it cold?
It was scalding hot, actually. Yes, it was very cold. But it was a fun event, and then it was just dancing.
That's so like fun and silly.
Music and stuff.
Yeah.
And then we camped. We put like our tent by the water on like a hilltop, and it was just like a very beautiful.
Did you have good weather for the rest of the time?
Yeah, it was beautiful, and the food was exceptional. There's like one, it's like a road, like a, I don't even know what it is. It's like a convenience store that made breakfast sandwiches that's in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the island, in like an intersection.
Okay.
And it was just like two pieces of white bread with ketchup and a fried egg on it, but somehow was the most delicious thing I'd ever eaten.
Mm-hmm. Oh my
so
God.
We like kept going back there to
breakfast.
Cool.
So you would love that.
Eggs.
It was like, I knew, and there were so many like nature hikes through the artist residency's place, and you can like pick berries and forage and eat food. And I remember once we went to like a store, like a craft store by the hotel, the inn, And we were just asking questions like, you must see a lot of people because of the hotel. And he was like, yeah. And we got like a quilt, and Amelie was like, oh, does the artist who make these, is she from Fogo? And he was like, oh, my wife? Yeah, she's upstairs making more quilts. And then we were like, oh, I guess you probably get like a lot of celebrities here. And he was like, yeah, we just had one last week, Gwendolyn Paltrow or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow. And then he looked at us and he went, are you guys famous? And we were like, no, we're not. No, we're not.
That was your one chance, Dan.
Yeah, I
could Gwendolyn Paltrow.
But yeah, it's just, and I knew it's one of those places, like, we stayed for 3 days and I could have been there longer, but I didn't want to, like, I was saturated by it. And I know that when you do all the things, like, I don't know what living there is like, but in my brain, it's like this perfect system. Like, everybody was completely open and working together. Like, maybe I'm completely off base because I'm a tourist, but like, it just seemed like the nicest, coziest place in the whole world.
So harmonious.
Yeah.
Now I really want to go. Let's not go home. Let's drive up there.
I think you can fly into, there is like the closest town with an airport on Newfoundland, and then you can take like a helicopter or rent a car and drive to Fogo.
Cool.
Gotcha.
If you don't have to drive from here.
Got it.
But yeah, and then we drove back and made a couple of different stops in Maine. Oh, we did, on the way back to mainland Newfoundland, we had like one day where we had to go back to the ferry all the way down the other side of Newfoundland.
Right.
Uh-huh. And there's a giant national park called Grossmoor National Park that we were like, well, we have to hike in the national park. It's the National Park of Newfoundland.
Sure.
So we found like the shortest hike because we were like, okay, we have like an hour and a half window where if we leave later than that, we'll miss the ferry overnight. We found a hike and it was like to the water and back. It's a nice 1 hour hike. So we did a hike, we got to the water, we walk alongside the water, we like climb up a hill and we're walking back and we're like, wait, we're like deep in the woods, we're nowhere near the car and it's already been like an hour and 20 minutes.
Oh, no.
What are we doing? And then we saw somebody walking by and they were like, oh, to the water and back, literally the same way you came. If you get to the water and back, it's an hour. If not, it's like a day hike.
Oh my God.
Damn.
And at this point, it'll be another hour and a half to get back to the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And also, it's going to be dark in like a half an hour.
No!
So it was like the most, like on the way there, it was like this beautiful, like idyllic thing. There were sheep and we're like, oh, look at the sheep. We're like frolicking with the sheep. This is beautiful. And then somebody was like, oh, I don't know if you'll make it back before nightfall. And then all the sheep were like, pew, and all the sheep become like sinister and like, you're going to die here tonight. So we're already like making plans in our head. Like, okay, if we sleep by the water, there's no animals or anything by the water. We can like, it's warm enough. We'll keep each other where we have coats. You can just sleep in the water and then tomorrow morning it'll be fine. And then we're like, no, we're just going to gun it and see what happens. So we're like running with our, like our bags and like our layers on. That was like a leisurely stroll. We're like running back through the forest.
Uh-huh.
And people who know, like there are people camping there. There are families having lunch that know this route and know that it's completely harmless. And then these two like Brooklynites are like, it's going to be dark, which means nothing. Like just walk in the dark.
Right.
Yeah.
But also we have to catch this ferry. So we run, we see the car in the distance, and like the last like 20 minutes of the hike are like a flat rock plain. So we see the car and we're just like running through the rocks and we get in the car and we take off. But the thing about the road through the park and to the ferry port is that there are no street lights.
Oh, good.
And it's like a single lane road.
Uh-huh.
And everywhere you look in Newfoundland, it's like there are a lot of moose. If you hit a moose, you will die. They're instant kills.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
They're giants instant on spindly. Kills. They're giants.
Yeah, they're like 2,000 pounds.
They're giants on spindly legs. And if you hit the leg and the moose falls on you, it's bad. Also, probably bad for the moose. But so we're driving as fast as we can while also being safe. And the headlight beams on the road, all we see on the road are just skid marks like everywhere.
Oh, gosh. From avoiding.
Yeah. So like we find there's one other car on the road and we're like, let's just stay by our friend and like stay. And he's probably weirded out that there's like a car like tailing him.
Uh-huh.
So that car gets away from us and we're driving and we get there just in time to see the ferry like leaving.
No.
So there's like one hotel in the town by the port that we stay there overnight. And then we didn't book a room or anything. So we're just like the way back was 8 hours. I guess it's with the current or a different route. So we just like slept in some chairs in like the lobby of the boat.
Great.
Yeah. And then we stopped at like an inn in Maine on the way back and ate more lobster. And then
that's great. This sounds like a great trip.
Grizzled, longer beard.
This is a real.
I love this.
It's a real.
It was like a short film.
Yeah, it is like a short film.
Scored by Britney Spears herself.
Did this trip make you want to go to more like
remote places.
It definitely did. And I think that every August trip since then, we've been, that's like we've got
like the really goal's been remote.
Eco, to, yeah, like remote ecotourism. Like,
oh, interesting.
Where else have you done that?
We did the Alps. We like hut hiked in the Alps from hut to hut.
Oh,
for a few days.
Right. Swiss or French?
Swiss.
Or Italian.
Or Italian.
It was
all Swiss, the kinds of meringue, yeah. And also
Swiss, my least favorite kind of cheese.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of crazy that we just call it Swiss cheese, because I think to any European it's like, oh, what kind of Swiss cheese?
Yeah.
Because Switzerland is where the cheese comes from.
Yeah.
Yes. We're just like the whole one. The one with the holes.
Yeah, give me, I don't want the holes.
From Switzerland.
I want cheese with no holes. Yeah. That's what I want.
Emmentaler. So we did that. Then the next year we went to Norway because they also had hut hiking.
Right.
Like the whole middle of Norway, you can just walk across.
Got it.
Would you ever do that? Hut hiking?
I would have to mentally prepare myself for some time, but yes.
I thought that about me. And then when you're there, you're like, this is all I want to do.
I mean, that's the thing. Like,
because you don't have to camp.
Right. You know, sometimes I think when we're planning a trip like that, like when we went to Zion or Rocky Mountain, anytime we've gone to a national park, mm-hmm. I think I have like my national park persona where I'm like, I love adventure and I'm cool and I wear Patagonia and I'm like fun.
Yeah.
So, I think I could hype myself up enough to do it.
What's nice about doing it in Europe and in Switzerland and Norway is that there's nothing around that can kill you here.
Uh-huh. Oh.
So like if you don't make it to the hut, which is you will, that's their design. There's like 3-hour hikes in between.
Yeah. I could do that.
But you could just be like, I'm gonna sleep here and just like sleep on the ground, like nothing will happen
that's
to you.
That's good. That's
someone will leave like some hot chocolate by you.
Like when you wake up you'll have a breakfast is what will happen.
That's cool. I guess because we mostly talk to people who, and we're still in this mindset where we're kind of primarily focused on cities and like countries and like populated destinations for travel.
Yeah, but the world is big.
That's where I was at when we went to Japan and South America and stuff. But then we did the road trip to Fogo and I was like, let's just go. I'm in the city. We live in the city and every vacation I'm just like, I want to go camping. I want to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where else is on your list as far as remote ecotourism?
I really like Norway. I know. Where were we thinking about going? We went to the Azores, which is a bunch of islands, and we were only on one, and I would like to do the other ones.
Okay.
I'm trying to see what else is on. I would like to do more Alps in different countries.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, we were kind of by, holy shit, I just forgot the name of the mountain, the Andes in South America. We were in Bogota, which is like surrounded by the Andes, but we did go hiking for one day there.
Cool.
But yeah, I just want to be in nature. I know what's cool about Norway is that you can go to Bergen or Oslo, the cities, and if you join that hut hiking society, there are huts and trails like an hour train ride, like how long it takes me to get to work.
Yeah.
Like you just go up for one day, go hiking for the day, and then come back. Like it's super easy to feel like you're very far away.
I feel like a lot of people try to talk you out of going to Norway because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
So that is like an affordable way to do it.
It's definitely the time we went, like we're in Oslo and we were like, let's take a day trip and go to a cabin and we'll sleep there. And we got there and we hiked all day and we finally got to the cabin and they were like, oh, we're booked for a corporate event. No one else can stay here. And then we were like, oh, well, we don't have a plan B. Like we're in the middle of this hiking trail. And they were like, well, we have like a teepee out back. You can sleep in the teepee that'll be fine. We're like, okay. So we like sat there and we realized that the ground was pretty cold. It's just dirt underneath the teepee. We had sleeping bags but no tent.
Yeah.
And we were like, let's see if we can make it back. And this woman and her daughter were like going back to their car and we were like, do you know a fast way back? Can you take us back with you? And they were like, yeah, sure. So we just like followed this family to their car.
Oh, great.
And they were like guiding us back.
Oh, wow.
And then we got to their car and she was like, well, what are you guys going to do? And we were like, well, we don't know. We'll figure it out from here. Thank you. And she was like, no, I got it. And she drove us to a campground
that had
rooms for rent and like came in with us and spoke in Norwegian.
Oh my
The person who worked there was like, okay, you guys are all set.
Wow.
Dan's really, you're really living a life of like living by the kindness of strangers.
Yeah. There's always one per trip that happened in Japan too, where like we like missed our train and had to like walk around for one night. And we were like sitting on the street on our suitcases reading. And a guy like came out of the shadows and I was like, oh, we're going to die now. And he typed into like his translator app and showed us his phone and it said, do you need help? Are you in trouble?
Uh-huh.
And we were like, no, we're just waiting for our next train. We have a couple of hours until the train. And he was like, okay. And he walked away And then a half hour later, he came back with two bottles of water and gave us the water and then left again.
It's so nice.
Yeah.
It's nice. It's so nice.
And again, these aren't scenarios where we're like laying on the street. Like, right. I was like reading a book on my iPad by the train station.
That's
we just had
so
to wait like
nice.
6 hours for a train.
Dan's found a kind, warm world out there, despite it being rainy and cold.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And despite his overwhelming fear of death.
Yeah. Well, it seems to have gone
in
and
out. It.
Yeah.
It's like 90% of my personality.
I'm not
suicidal, but I do have a death wish.
Now Dan wants to die. Dan's walking that edge.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, this was amazing.
Yeah, it was a great episode.
Love it.
I made it. Do
you want to plug anything?
Oh, yeah. What do you want to plug?
Plug your tweets. Your
tweets
are
Dan
so
loves
great.
To tweet.
I'm on the website, twitter.com. What's my Twitter handle? It's Dan, not Daniel. Dan Spencer, SPNSER.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you can see his drawings and graphic work on Sam B. Mm-hmm.
Full Frontal with Samantha B.
Full Frontal with Samantha
B. I have to say the full name
also
for Full
Canadian.
Frontal. She's Canadian?
Yeah.
Sam, yeah.
Is Jason Jones also?
I don't know. It's not Full Frontal with Jason Jones, is
it? Well, I don't know. I'm just wondering if they were. I'm thinking if they were a Canadian couple.
Oh, I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
All right, Daniel. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Goodbye forever.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Take Me There. To access all the recommendations from our guests, you can visit the episodes page of our website, takemetherepod.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and Twitter at takemetherepod. If you like the show, we'd be super grateful if you'd leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and recommend it to all your pals who love to travel. Thanks, and have a good one.